Today's daf is Me'ila, daf Yud Dalet, the last daf of the third parak of Maseches Me'ila. We're holding at the Mishnah on the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. It says the Mishnah, Hakan Shebarosh Ha'ilan Shal Hagdish. Let's say you have a bird's nest on the top of a tree of Hagdish. So we're going to discuss in the Gemara what we assume the nest was made from. The nest has to be made from twigs of somewhere. So what do we assume, that the nest was made from twigs of the Hagdish tree, or the nest is made from twigs of a different tree? But either way, we'll just read the Mishnah. If you have a kan, you have this nest on the top of a Hagdish tree, lo nenin v'lo ma'olin. There's an issue to get hana from it, but one does not violate a mi'ila by getting hana from that nest. Shabbat But in contrast, if the tree was not a Hagdish tree, the tree was also bana for another reason. The tree was an Asherah tree, it was a tree that was used for Avodah Zarah. So Yat is Bakana. You're not even allowed to climb the tree to get the nest down, but you are allowed to knock the nest down and then use the nest. The nest is not Asur Bana. Sounds from the Mishnah that we're more makel by an Asherah than we are by Hagdish. By Hagdish, we're going to assume that the nest is Asur Bana. By the Asherah, it sounds, we're going to be a little more makel, and we're going to assume the nest is Mutter Bana. We just don't allow you to climb up the tree to grab the nest. You have to knock it down with a stick. Says Rashi, or Mefarish, Yat is Bakana. If you can't reach it from the ground by reaching up with your hand, so then you knock it down with a stick. But you're not allowed to climb the tree in order to get it, because if you're climbing the tree, you're getting hana'a from the tree itself. Very clear that the isra hana'a is on the tree only, no isra hana'a on the nest. So as long as you can get the nest without getting hana'a from the tree, it's perfectly fine. Gemara is going to explain exactly what you're knocking down. Are you knocking down the nest, or are you knocking down the chicks in the nest? Maybe the nest itself actually is usher, and you're only allowed to knock down the contents of the nest. We're going to explain all that in the Gemara. Last line of the Mishnah, Hamakdish is a choresh, Moalin Bekulov. A person is Makdish, a forest in its entirety, so then there's an Issur Me'ilah on every part of the tree, on the leaves, the branches, the twigs, everything, the sawdust, the shavings, the trimmings of the tree, the trunk, all of it is subject to an Issur Me'ilah. So basically, three halachas in the Mishnah. Number one, you have a tree that itself is Hegdish, so the nest that's on top of the tree, you're not allowed to get Hanah from. There's no Me'ilah, but you're not allowed to get Hanah from. Number two, you have a tree that's not Hagdish, nothing to do with Hagdish, but is Asherah. You are allowed to get Hanah from the nest, you're just not allowed to get Hanah from the tree itself. And number three, if you're Makdish, a forest, that all of the contents of that forest are Asur Vahanah and are subject to Me'ilah. Says the Gemara, Itmar, Avodas Kochavim Shinishtabra Me'ilah, seeming to pick up on the second of the three halachos in the Mishnah, when we spoke about an Asherah tree, we spoke about an Avodah Zarah tree, and we assume that the nest on top of that tree is mutar bana. So the Gemara just discusses a broader machlokas about Avodah Zarah, and we're going to use our second halacha in our Mishnah as a raya in this broader machlokas. We know the halacha is by Avodah Zarah. If something is used as an Avodah Zarah, it's also bana. If the guy who used it as an Avodah Zarah, however, is mevatalit from being an Avodah Zarah, then it becomes mutar bana. As long as he's mevatalit, he breaks it and he says, I don't want this to be an Avodah Zarah anymore, so that's perfectly fine. It's able to be used as an Avodah Zarah. It's able to be used. Never allowed to use something as an Avodah Zarah. It's able to be used. It's Mutar Bana. If he doesn't, if he's not Mevatel it, he just walks away from it, doesn't use it anymore, so then it still remains Asr as Avodah Zarah. What about somewhere in between? Somewhere in between being Mevatel it and not being Mevatel it is where it breaks on its own. No one ever broke it, but it broke. The Avodah Zarah broke. So are the pieces of the Avodah Zarah now going to be Mutar Bana or not? So Itmar, Avodas Kocham Shenishtabra Me'eleha. You have Avodah Zarah that broke on its own. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Asura, Reish Lakish Amar Muteres. Rabbi Yochanan says that the broken Avodah Zarah remains Asur. It remains Avodah Zarah. Reish Lakish says, no, now it's broken, it's Mutar. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Asura, Delo Batal Ovid Kocham. Rabbi Yochanan says very straightforward. Why is it Asur? Because in Ovid Kocham was never Mevatalit. The guy Shammai was never mevatel, therefore it's going to remain aser. Vishlak Shamu Muteres, Meimar Omar, he gufalo matzla, ledidi matzla li. Rishlak says, no, it's going to be mutter, because surely the Ovid Kochavim is going to realize the irony of that which is supposed to protect him, not being able to protect itself, and he's going to say, if it can't protect itself, how could I possibly expect it to protect me? And therefore he's going to be mevatel it as an avodah zarah anyway. If you see the top Tosos, Mutaris, Meimar, Omer, Pirish, Ha'ovid, Kochavim, the guy is going to say this. Sha'ovid, Osa, who worshipped it? Omer, he gufala matzla, ledidi matzla bitmiya, vilkach biyadua shebitla. And therefore, it's yadua, he must have been mevatalit. There's no way he wasn't mevatalit after witnessing that it broke. It's an interesting line. Biyadua shebitla? Or one might have said, you don't need him to be mevatel. It's not that we know that he was mevatel, that in this case, it's batel me'eleha, that it's assumed to be batel, because anyone in his right mind, we have an umdana, that any guy in his right mind would have been mevatel. Tosa seems to assume, no, biyadua shabitla, that's yadua, that he was mevatelit. What if we know that he doesn't know about it, right? That would be the nafkamina. We know that he doesn't know that it was broken. If you assume that you need him to actually be mevatelit, and we're just assuming that he was mevatelit, well, when you know that he doesn't know that it broke, then you know he wasn't mevatelit, then it should still be aser, even according to Reish Lakish. But if you assume that he doesn't need to actually be mevatelit, it just goes along with the territory, that when an avodah zarah breaks, so anyone in his right mind would be mevatel, that's enough to be considered a bittel of the avodah zarah. So then it would turn out that if he doesn't know about it, it would still be batel and would still be mutter. Tulsa sounds like the first way, that he has to actually be mevatelit. So says the Gemara, Eisivei Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. So Reish Lakish asks, actually before we get to the Kasha, Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, so a couple of minor points over here. Tulsa in Maseches Avodah Zarah, and Mem Aleph Amid Aleph points out that Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish argue about an avodah zarah that we know that it broke on its own. We see that it's broken, but we also know how it broke. We know that it just happened to have broken on its own, or an avodah zarah that was found to be broken where you don't know how it was broken, but you can assume that it was broken on its own. Even in that case, we would have a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish where you don't know for sure that it broke on its own, but you have no reason to assume otherwise. You just found it to be broken. However, the Ramban and the Ritva in Maseches Avodah Zarah disagree. They think that Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish only argue in a case where you know for sure that it broke on its own. If you don't know that it broke on its own, you just see that it is broken, so then if it's Nimtza Shvura, so then even Rabbi Yochanan would be Matir, because Mistama, you could assume things don't break on their own. Things don't happen on their own that often, and therefore you could assume that the guy was the one that actually broke it, and everyone would hold it as therefore mutter. So that's machlokas rishonim. So again, the case where they definitely argue is a case where you know for sure that it broke on its own. If you know for sure that the guy broke it, then no one would argue, obviously, then everyone would say that it's completely mutter. What about where you don't know how it broke? So Tosfos in Avodah Zarah assumes when you don't know how it broke, that's also a case of machlokas. That's like it breaking on its own. The Ramban and the Ritva assume that when you don't know how it broke, that is the equivalent of the guy having broken it. The Ramban Avodah Zarah, second point, the Ramban Avodah Zarah writes that in the Yerushalmi it's clear that if the guy has plans, the guy whose Avodah Zarah is broken has plans to be machzer, to bring it back, to put it back together, so then the Kol HaDeos, the Avodah Zarah, is going to be aser. And similarly, if he has das, you know for sure that he has das never to put it back together, then everyone would agree that it's mutter. So again, we're further limiting this machlokas. Not only is the machlokas only when it broke on its own, but the machlokas is only if you don't know what his das is, what the das of the Ovid Kochavim is. Does he plan on putting it back together and reusing it, or does he plan on never using it again? You have no idea. But if you know one way or the other, that itself would be a determining factor. So says the Ramban. Interestingly, the Chazon Ish doesn't see it that way. The Chazon Ish thinks that maybe other Rishonim wouldn't see it that way. In Yardei, Sim Samech Aleph Os Tes, the Chazon Ish writes, Rabbi Yochanan and Shlakish argue b'chol ofen, whether it's Omid Lachziro or it's not Omid Lachzir Shvarim, whether he plans on putting it together or not, because Rabbi Yochanan would hold, even if he was Masiach Das, from putting together, the Shvarim themselves, the broken pieces themselves, are still Aser, because they themselves are Chashuv to the person who's Oved them, based on their history, based on the fact that it used to be his Avodah Zarah. So even though he doesn't plan on ever using them again, they remain Aser because of the Chashivos he grants them, based on what they used to be. Machmas Ha'avar, they're considered Avodah Zarah Mamish in the eyes of the Oved Avodah Zarah. And Reish Lakish would view it that even if you do plan on fixing it, the Shvarim themselves are not going to be Aser, because now that they're broken, at this moment in time, a snapshot, at this moment in time, the Ovid of Avodah Zarah doesn't view them as anything, and therefore the fact that he's going to later make it back into an Avodah Zarah means later will be Chashuv Tim. But right now it's not Chashuv Tim. That's how the Chazon Ish understands the machlokas between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. It seems to be again against the Ramban. One final point over here. Rashi writes that when we say Rabbi Yochanan says it's Aser because the Ovid Chavim was not Mevatalit, Shari Lo Bitl Ovid Chavim Beferish. Sounds like that we did not, that had the Ovid Chavim been Mevatalit, Bipeh, that would be good enough. So Asemis raises the Kasha that it sounds from Rashi that if you would hear him be Mevatal the Avodah Zarah, that would be all you need, just to hear him say the words, I'm Mevatal the Avodah Zarah. So Asemis says, I don't understand. Even if he is Mevatal Beferish, that's not the way you're Mevatal the Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah, to be Mevatal the Avodah Zarah, you need to be Mevatal B'maisa. You need to do something to it. So to just say the words that he's Mevatal would be insufficient. So why does Rashi assume that even within Shitas Rabbi Yochanan that it's not Batel, that words alone would have been Mevatel. Reish Lakish we understand very well. Reish Lakish holds that you don't need your own Maisa, you need something to happen to it. And the fact that it broke is enough. That's something happening to it. It doesn't have to be your Maisa of Bittel, it just has to be Batel Me'eleha. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, that you need to be Mevatel, that the Maisa doesn't have to, that the Maisa has to be done, so why is it good enough that it broke on its own and then you said words? Words shouldn't be sufficient. That's the Sfasemis's Kasha. Okay, so now that we know this Machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, when you have an Avodah Zarah that broke on its own, do we assume that it's Batel from Avodah Zarah, or do we assume that it still has the Isser of Avodah Zarah? So says the Gemara, Eisvei Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish asks on Rabbi Yochanan a raya from our Mishnah. Again, Reish Lakish is one that said that it's mutter when it breaks. So he says a raya from our Mishnah that it's going to be mutter when it breaks. Because what does the Mishnah say? Hakan Shabroshi Ilan Shal Hegdish Einen In Ve'in Moalin. That if you have a nest of a bird's nest on the top of a Hegdish tree, so you're not allowed to get Hana from that bird's nest. But Sheba Asherah, on top of an Avodah Zarah tree, Yat is Bekana. You're allowed to get the nest down and you're allowed to use the nest. Apparently the nest is 100% perfectly Mutter Bana. My love the Itmer Begufa, the Katana Yat is Bekana. Aren't we talking about that the nest itself was made from twigs of the tree? So that's the same as the tree of Avodah Zarah being broken, Me'eleha. It's being broken on its own because it's a force of nature. Birds doing things and collecting twigs and making nests is a force of nature, and therefore that's considered that it's happening on its own. So you see the Avodah Zarah tree is breaking on its own, and nevertheless we see that it's going to be Mutter Bahana, a riot to Reish Lakish against Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan holds you need to break it in order for it to be Mutter Bahana. Breaking on its own is not good enough. Says the Gemara, no, it's not a raya. Lo, da'isi etzimayalma. Who said that the bird collected the twigs from that tree itself? Maybe we're talking about where the bird collected the twigs to make the nest from other trees that had no issues, that had no problems. That's why you're allowed to get Ana from the nest on top of the Avodah Zarah tree. The twigs came from elsewhere. Correct the Gemara, oh yeah, the twigs came from elsewhere. How do you explain the ratio of the Mishnah? First case in the Mishnah was, you have a nest on top of a Hegdish tree, and we said the nest is Aser Bana. Well, why should the nest be Aser Bana? Ihachi, Amayshal Hegdish, Einen Vein Moalin. Why should the nest on top of a Hegdish tree be Aser Bana? There's the twigs didn't come from the Hegdish tree. The twigs came from trees that weren't Hegdish. It should be Mutter Bana. Ella b'gidul nabal lachar mikan. No, so what we must say is that we're talking about a tree that you were makdish, or a tree that was avodah zarah, and then it grew some more twigs after you were makdish it. So when it comes to so when it comes to a hegdish tree, a makdish it, when it's small, it grows more twigs, and then twigs are taken from that tree itself by the birds and made into a nest. So the nest is going to be asur ba'na, because it's from twigs that were made from a hegdish tree, from twigs that were taken from a hegdish tree. Why is there going to be no mi'ila? Because we're assuming, like the shita, that there's no mi'ila on gidulin. That gidulei hegdish are not subject to mi'ila. But asur ba'na definitely is. And how do we translate the second case of the Mishnah? Second case of the Mishnah where you have an asherah tree with a nest. Again, we're talking about twigs taken from that tree itself. And yet we say that the nest is 100% mutter ba'ana. So we're back to Reish Lakish's Raya against Rabbi Yochanan. You see that even though the tree is broken on its own, it becomes mutter. The nest becomes mutter ba'ana. It does not remain aser. So, and hachinami mistavra, and it's most mistavra to say that the case of the Mishnah is where the twigs came from the tree itself, because if you think the twigs came from somewhere else, amayatis bekana. If they came from somewhere else, why do you have to knock it down with a stick? Lishkale mishkal. Just take it straight. You wouldn't need to knock it down with a stick if it came from somewhere else. So the raya from Reish Lakish against Rabbi Yochanan seems to be a very strong raya. So says the Gemara, no, not a raya at all. Amar Rabbi Avoh, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, liolam di'aisi me'alma. Now really we're talking about where it came from elsewhere. The twigs came from other trees. Umayatis, why do you have to, if it came from other trees, what's the, why is it that, that we said that you have to knock it down with a stick, and the chiddush that you're allowed to get the nest itself? Of course you're allowed to use the nest itself if it came from other trees. What would be the problem in the first place? And why in the Reisha would we have a problem? Would we say that there's an Isra'na on such a nest in a hegdish tree? After all, the nest should be totally mutter. It says, no, yat is afrochim. When we say that yat is, we don't mean that you're taking the nest. We mean that you're taking the birds from the nest. Amalei Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Yirmiya, afrochim, kan v'kan mutarim, beitzim, kan v'kan asurim. He said, no, well, it really depends if you're talking about birds or you're talking about eggs. Birds, both in the case of an asherah tree and in the case of a hegdish tree, the birds themselves are going to be mutter. They have a ruach chayim, they're not tzorach l'iman anymore, they don't require their mother's assistance anymore, and therefore they are independent, they're not considered part of the tree. They're going to be mutter whether it's on a hegdish tree, whether it's on an asherah tree, the birds are going to be totally fine. The eggs are going to be usser in either situation. The eggs are going to be completely usser. So when we say yat is bekana, so knock them down, that's talking about the afrochim. And the truth is, we would have said the same thing by hegdish, right? The case of the reisha where we said that the nest on top of the hegdish tree is usser is not talking about the afrochim. It's talking about the beitzim. The beitzim are going to be usser. The afrochim totally mutter in both cases. So even though it sounds from our Mishnah that the Mishnah is contrasting a hegdish tree with an asherah tree, it's not really. That's what the Gemara is saying right now. That Rabbi Yavoh holds that Rabbi Yaakov says rather holds that the there is no difference in the halacha between the nest on an asherah tree and the nest on a hegdish tree. In both situations, if the nest was taken from wood from other trees, the nest is going to be totally mutter. And in terms of the contents of the nest, if there are afrochim in there, in both situations, they're completely mutter. And if there are beitzim in there, in both situations, they're completely aser. Amar Ravashi im afrochim shrichim le'iman ke beitzim damu. Just in terms of defining what's the difference between a beitzim and an afroach, it's dafka as soon as it hatches. Meaning as soon as the egg hatches, it doesn't necessarily go from being a beitza to being an afroach. As long as the afrochim still require the mother bird, so then they still have a din of beitza, and they do not yet have a din of afrochim. But that's what the Gemara is saying right now, completely against the mashmos of the Mishnah. The mashmos of the Mishnah was that we were drawing a stark contrast between a nest on top of a hegdish tree and a nest on top of a sheira tree. But the Gemara says right now, no, there's no difference whatsoever. So if that's the case, if the real chiluk is between beitzim and afrochim, why, when it wants to tell me the isser of beitzim, does it dafka couch it in the case of hegdish And when it wants to tell me the heter of Ephrochim, does it dafka say it in the case of an Asherah tree? So Tosfos deals with that problem over here. Tosfos Dibra Maschal Ephrochim, Kan V'Kan Matarim, says Tosfos, Pirush, Bein V'Asherah, Bein Mishal Hagdash, Kivin Disben Rachayim, Ein Shrich Liman, Kum Farish Besamach. The Ephrochim, since they don't require the mother's assistance anymore, both by an Asherah tree and by a Hagdash tree, it's totally mutter. V'Hadukamer Yatiz Bekana, when we say that you could take him down, that's Kaya Ephrochim, that's going on Ephrochim, which are mutter. But for what the same would be true in a Hekdash tree. Avalonenin, when it says that you're not allowed to get Hana from the nest, Kai Akan Ubeitzim, that's going on the nest itself if it's made from that tree, and on the eggs that are in the nest, Vuhadin Gabe Ashera, and that would be true by an Asherah tree as well. That's not only true by a Hekdash tree. So Frak tells us in Tomer, Amaitanan Laetera Gabe Ashera, Vakatani Lisur Gabe Hekdash. If the heter and the Isser is the same, both by an Asherah and by a Hekdash tree, why do you teach me the heter by the Asherah and the Isser by Hekdash? The Yeshlomer Delachi Tanalonen Gabe Hekdash, Mishum Dubai Lemisni Ein Moalin. The reason it wanted to tell me the Isra Hana'ah by the Hekdash tree is because it wanted to let me know that even though it's Hekdash and there is an Isra Hana'ah, we don't go all the way. There's no Isra Me'ila. You're not going to be Chayiv B'Me'ila. So that's why Dafka wanted to tell me by Hekdash, the Chumra by Hekdash, to let me know that the Chumra doesn't go as far as it may have in other situations of Hekdash. Umatiz Bakana Katani Gabi Ashera, and Matiz Bakana, it says Dafka in the context of the Asherah tree that you're allowed to take it down. Da'afal Gav Davi Dover Ma'us Ma'od, Shehu Shalavod Chavim, Afilu Hachi Shari Afrochim Bana, to tell me a Chiddush that one might have thought that we'll be more hesitant to ever allow you to get Hana from something that was ever associated with an Avod Zara than we are from something that was once associated with Hegdish. Because as long as it's not Momon Hegdish, it should be totally fine. But Avod Zara, even if it's not technically forbidden as a chelik of the Avodah Zarah, but it's such mius, it's so disgusting to use something from an Avodah Zarah, so I might think that's aser. So a couple of points. First of all, the very kasha, the Reish Lakish asked in Rabbi Yochanan from our Mishnah, where you take the birds took the twigs from the tree itself, and we see that that's considered like an avodah zarah that broke on its own, and yet we see that the nest is going to be mutter. So if you really held that something that breaks on its own is aser, the nest should have been aser. So the Mishnah Lemelech just raises a very fundamental question in the seventh parak of Hilchos Avodah. And he quotes that a lot of other achronim ask this question as well. Now, this is a kasha on Reish Lakish as well, because Reish Lakish, the fact that Reish Lakish is matir avodah zarah that breaks on its own is not only a heter for the broken pieces that fell off of the avodah zarah. When an avodah zarah breaks, what's the svara to say that it's mutter? The guy is going to say, look, it couldn't even protect itself. What's it going to protect me? It's never going to be able to protect me. So let's say you have a giant idol that's nose gets chopped off on its own. So you'll say the svara that this idol is worthless. The whole idol is sheker v'chazav. It doesn't do anything. You're not going to say, oh, the nose is of the idol isn't going to protect me. The whole thing is a joke. The whole thing doesn't work. So the avodah zarah itself becomes mutter. So that same svara should apply to the idol itself. So that now carrying that over to our case of a tree, if the tree had twigs that broke off of it, may elayhem on their own. So not only should the nest be mutter, the tree itself should be mutter. And yet it says over here that you're allowed to get hana from the atzei akan that were taken off of the tree. But the eitz of the tree itself sounds like everyone agrees. Even Reish Lakish would agree. The eitz of the tree itself remains usser. And we don't say, well, it's not going to help me. Why would it ever help me? So this is a kasha on Reish Lakish also. I mean, our Mishnah is a major kasha on everybody. It's not only kasha on Rabbi Yochanan. So the Mishnah Lemelech gives a tarot. It says maybe Reish Lakish means to ask from the fact that the Mishnah says, Yat is Bekana, teaches us that the Asherah itself is Aser, you see that the Shivri Avodas Chavim in general are going to be Mutter. Because if Shivri Avodas Chavim, meaning it must be telling me that there's an exception by the Halach of a tree. Otherwise, the whole Mishnah is extra. Meaning it must be telling me that a tree is different. That for whatever reason, when a tree has twigs that are broken off, a tree is an exception to the rule. Otherwise, this Mishnah isn't teaching me anything new. So it must be teaching me that the tree is an exception to the rule, that the tree is going to remain Aser, only the twigs that fall off are going to be mutter. But why should that be the case? Why should the tree remain aser? So in one of the Achronim, the Megadim Chadashim, he quotes here from the Megadim Chadashim written by Rav Pinchas Menachem HaKohen Zinger, Okay, so he writes as follows. He says, no, when an Avodah Zarah's twigs are used to build a nest, people aren't going to say that the tree is worthless as an Avodah Zarah. Adraba, they'll say, look what a nice Avodah Zarah it is. Look what a nice god this is, that it tries to take care of birds. It allows its twigs to be used to take care of, to be merachim al abrios, to have rachmanos on these creatures. Now, the twigs themselves are no longer an Avodah Zarah. The twigs themselves are now being used for something else. They're being used by the bird for a nest. But it's not going to lower the stature of the Avodah Zarah in the person's eyes at all. Now the Gemara had said that the Afrochim are going to be Asr no matter what, and the Beitzim are going to be the Afrochim are going to be Mutter no matter what, and the Beitzim are going to be Asr no matter what, whether it's by a Hegdish tree or by an Asherah tree. Now, why would the Beitzim be Asr? What's the Isser that the Beitzim have? Beitzim were not part of the tree. A tree of Hegdash and Sen is Asr Bana. A tree of Vodazar and Sen is Asr Bana. The Beitzim aren't part of the tree. What would make the Beitzim Asr? So several Shittos from Rishonim. Rashi over here says the Beitzim are going to be Asr because they need the tree. And since they need the tree, they get the Chachamim made a Gezerah that they should have the status of the tree itself. That if the tree is going to be Asr, anything that needs the tree in order to survive is also going to be Asr. Tosos, however, Maseches Avodah Zarah and Daf Mem Beis Amud Beis writes that the reason the Beitzim Rasser is a Gezera Shema Yala Al Ha'ilan, that we're afraid you're going to climb on the tree to take the Beitzim because you're going to be too scared that they might fall off and break. The Afrochim, you're not going to climb on to get them because you're not worried about them falling. But the Beitzim, you're going to feel bad, you're going to be afraid that they're going to fall off and break, so you might climb the tree to get them. When you're climbing the tree, you're going to be getting Hanah from the tree. That is Tosos. The Rambam in Hilchot Chavin Perek Zayin Halach Yud Beis gives a third reason. He says that the Asherah is like a basis for the Beitzim, like we have a concept in Hilchot Shabbos of a basis, l'davar aser. So the Asherah is a basis for the Beitzim, and the basis itself is Isser, so mele the Asherah, the Beitzim will be Asher as well. Because the Rivet explains that it's like Gidule Asherah, that it's like something that grows from the Asherah tree. Sounds from the Rambam that it's only in Isser midrabanan, midorais would be mutter, but okay, those are the different Shittos from Rishonim in terms of what the nature of this Isser of the Beitzim itself is. Okay, next Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Hagizborim shalachu etzim, molin beitzim, ve'molin lo b'shifuyev lo b'naviyev. If Gizborim of Hegdash buy wood to use for lumber, to build and fix the Beis HaMikdash, so there is mi'ila on the wood itself, on the timber itself, but there's no mi'ila on the trimmings and the sawdust that comes from the tree, and not the leaves that come from the tree, because that's clearly not the kavan of the Gizbar. When the Gizbar buys the tree, he wants the tree for the wood, for the usable wood, and that's it. So that's the only part that there's going to be mi'ila on. Rashi writes, the reason there's no mi'ila on these other parts is because, like we just said, the Gizbar only intends to buy those parts that are tzorich lebinyan, that he needs for actual building. In Meseches Temura and Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, there is a Mishnah that says that Hegdish Bedek Abayis Chal Al Hakol. That if you makdish bedek habayis, lebedek habayis, a tree, it's chal on everything. And the Gemara says, lasuye mai, amar ravina, liyisuye shifuye, veniva. Comes to include the leaves, the trimmings of the tree, the sawdust, all that stuff. That's included in the hegdish. So it seems like a little bit of a stira. On the one hand, our Mishnah says that if the gizbar is buying it for bedek habayis, only the timber itself is considered to be a hegdish. The rest of the stuff is completely mutter. And yet in Temura it says that a hegdish bedek habayis is chal on everything. So Tosaf there explains that when we say hegdish bedek habayis is chal on everything, we're talking about a person who's makdish a beam. So that a person who's makdish a tree, so then there's mi'ila on all parts of it. But gizbarim that purchase wood for construction purposes, that's when it's not going to, there's a difference between a private individual who decides that he wants to be nice and he's going to donate his tree to Hegdish, so he's thinking from his perspective, he's not thinking so much what Hegdish needs right now, he's thinking, I want to be a good man, so I want to donate my entire tree to Hegdish. So good, so then the entire tree is donated to Hegdish, the leaves, the sawdust, everything. But when it comes to the Gizbar is thinking from Hegdish's perspective, so if he's the one that buys the tree for Hegdish, he's going to be thinking, what does Hegdish need right now, and that's when I'm being makdish, I'm only being makdish what I actually need. It's interesting, the Rambam doesn't seem to say this way. The Rambam, 5th parak of Hilchos Me'ilah, writes that Kizbarim, that that get Atzei Hegdish, so you don't get any, there's no Mi'ilah on the externals, on the leaves and the other stuff, and he never quotes the Din in Temura. He never mentions the Gemara in Temura at all. So maybe he holds it's a Stira and Sugyas, and we paskin like us, but that clearly there's an issue over here that needs to be dealt with between our Mishnah and the case in Temura. Okay, says the Gemara, Amr Shmuel, Bonin B'chol V'achar Kach Makdish, in general, the way they would be Makdish things is they would build things with chulin material. They would not make the material hegdish yet when they would use it to build. They would take stones, let's say, to build stones of chulin, and then once it was built, they'd be makdish it. My time, well, why would they do such a thing? Manda misnadiv ma'os mekadish lehu. Damar techul kedushas ma'os abinyan v'yavlu le'umnin b'scharan. The problem was, if someone wanted to be misnadiv ma'os, a person would donate money to the Beis HaMikdash, he'd be makdish the money, and that way the kedusha, the money, could be chal on the binyan, meaning if the binyan was chulin, it wasn't yet hegdish, so we have a simple way to make this money usable and be able to pay people's wages with it. Here's what you did. You made the whole binyan out of chulin, then you were mechalal this money that someone donated as hegdish on the binyan, so the binyan now becomes kodesh, the money now becomes chulin, now you could pay the workers. But if the binyan was hegdish and the money was hegdish, how are you going to pay the workers? You can't give the workers hegdish money. You need to be mechalalit on somebody. You can't be mechalalit on a service provided. You have to be mechalalit on something of substance. So that's why they would dafka build bechol and then be exchange the money for the chulin and that, for the chulin walls. So the chulin walls will now become hegdish. The money would now become chulin, and then they'd be able to pay the workers. Frektos was three lines from the bottom of the page. Vim tamar hamrin perak basra de ksubis magiyes farm shiv yushlaim nolten scharim mitchuma salishcha umayisha mischarim nindahacha. Wait a second. It says that the magiyes svarim used to take their wages from the chuma salishcha. Isn't that getting direct money from direct payment from money of hegdish? And isn't the whole point of our gemara that you're not allowed to do that? That you have to somehow make the money chulin before you can get payment? So it says tells us yeshlamer deshayni chuma salishcha sheba benidvas Tzibur, v'leiv beis din masna alehem, avlo shayich lam v'leiv beis din masna behegdish nidvas yachid, afilu k'tishon losim tzibur. When it's the tzibur that's giving as a whole, so then it's leiv beis din masna alehem. Beis din determines what has kedusha, what doesn't have kedusha. They can determine the kedusha status of that money. But when an individual is makdish money, then you don't say leiv beis din masna alehem. Then the individual intended to be makdish it, and it's complete. It's considered to be completely kedusha. Okay.
Is there a possible mix during kalim? Like nowadays, you can't make an aron.
Right.
How do you make something? How can you make something that's not kadosh and then them be makadosh?
No, we're talking about they had a Beis HaMikdash. They were building. They were building onto.
You can't with a Beis HaMikdash around. You would just have loved.
Well, they always needed to do construction. It's like maintaining a shul. Sometimes you need a new bima. Sometimes you need a new. You know, you need to build on a little extra.
Yeah, if you're building it for a hektish, that's one thing. But if you're building it not,
so they are. They're building for hektish. No, that's the point. It's being built for hektish. The materials they're using, they're not makdish until the construction is done. They don't give a status of kedusha to those materials until they finish the constructing it. Why? Because if they're makdish it before, then they're never going to be able to exchange it for the money. But they're not just stam building; they're building what hektish needs. So it says in Gemara Meisvei, Moser Haktoras Mayosim. But what would they do with the leftover ketores each and every year? There's a very detailed ingredient list for what you need to make the ketores, and the ketores would make 368 manin, and they would make it once a year. Problem is, in a solar year, there are only 365 days. Even though we go by the lunar year, every 19 years it evens out. So let's say over the course of 19 years, you have an average of 365 days a year, but you had an average of 368 manin in a year, and they would only use one man of ketores every day. So there was always a little bit left over. Okay, Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol will take a handful of it, so that would be a little less. But you'd have two and change, about 2.5 manin of ketores extra every year. So every 60 or 70 years, they would have half of the full recipe extra. But in order to have this carryover, to keep on accumulating the extra, they needed to be makdish the last year's ketores with this year's money. Meaning you can't use last year's ketores for this year. So in order to allow the carryover to work for the coming year, they have to somehow figure out a way that this year's money was going to pay for last year's ketores. So what did they do? They would separate from it the wages that they needed to pay the workers, and they would be mechalal it on the money of the workers. They would give it to the workers, and then they would buy it back from the workers from the truma chadasha. Meaning, essentially, what they would do is they would pay the workers with ketores. They would give them ketores, and then they would meaning they'd be mechalal the ketores. Give the workers the ketores, so the workers were now paid with ketores, and then they would buy the ketores back from the workers with the new money, with the money from the Truma Chadasha. And this way, the new ketores, the old ketores, was bought with new monies, and therefore you're able to use it this year. That's the way they would carry it over from year to year. So, why can't they just be mechalalit on the binyan, meaning a much simpler solution? If you look at Tosfos in the first medium-sized line, kolomar, if Shmuel is really right that when they would build things, when they would do construction in the Beis HaMikdash, they would do it b'chol, why would they do all this? Just be mechal the ketores on the binyan itself, and the ketores will go out to be chulin, and then you could take the money from the truma chadasha and exchange it back for that ketores. Why do you need to be mafresh at l'schar and get the workers involved? Just use what's already in the control of the Beis HaMikdash. Be mechal at a binyan. So says Gemara, similar to what Daniel was referring to before, the loik a binyan, that maybe they didn't need to construct anything. Not every second did they need to build things in the Beis HaMikdash. So not every year did they have something to be mechalalit on. Frankly, Marva Maos Umnin Katani. But it says Maos Ha'umnin that they would use the money. So obviously the Umnin were doing something because they needed Umnin to make this happen. So there must have been construction projects. Otherwise, what Umnin are we talking about? It says, no, the lack of binyan kashir Maos. No, they didn't have enough binyan that would equal that amount of money. The workers were owed that amount of money because the workers are owed apparently more than the actual value of the binyan itself. Apparently, the craftsmanship was worth more than the materials were worth. So the workers were owed that amount of money, but the binyan itself didn't have that amount of money. Frankly, who cares whether it equaled that amount of money or not? The halacha is if you have a hegdish that's worth a mana that you mechalal on a shavu pruta, it works as a chilul. It's mechulal. So why do we care whether it's worth the same amount of money? Still, just transfer for the binyan. Granted, the binyan is only worth $10 and you have $100 worth of ketores. So what? You're allowed to do that. You're allowed to transfer uneven amounts for each other. You're allowed to exchange uneven amounts for each other. And says Gemara, you're not allowed to. It works if you do it, but hani mili di'eved, the chachila lo, the chachila one is not permitted to exchange uneven mounts with hagdish. It's only that if you did it b'di'eved, it's going to be okay. Tosfos points out, what Tosfos always points out throughout Shas, every time we say this, that it's only a din b'di'eved. That's true when the Beis HaMikdash was around, that it's only a din b'di'eved. Now that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, where nothing is going to go to hagdish anyway, and it's just going to be a matter of having extra hagdish lying around, so now will the chachila also, if you have something that's worth $1,000 of hagdish, you could change it for $1, and even the chachila, just to because it's, you're not going to be costing hagdish anything anyhow. There is no hagdish to give it to. It's just going to be removing a michshal. So Tosfos says, wait a second. If that's true, as long as there's no pseidel hagdish, we don't mind. Even the chachila, you're allowed to exchange. Well, over here also there's no pseidel hagdish because everything's going to go back to hagdish anyway. This ketores is going to go right back to hagdish. It's not going to be pseidel hagdish. So Tosfos says you have to say it's a low plug. When there was a Beis HaMikdash, where most often when you would do an uneven exchange, it would lead to a pseidel hagdish, so then even when it won't lead to a loss for hagdish, we're going to assume that it's going to be usher to do an uneven exchange. But now that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash where no exchange is going to cost a Pseid HaHagdish, so nowadays it's all going to be mutter. Says Gemara Vayter, Rav Papa Amar Hainu Taimit Dabonu B'chol Lo Nit Natar L'Malchei Ashari. He says a totally different reason. Why would they build with materials that are chulin and only be makdish it later? Because while people are building, the Torah is not given to Malachi Asharis. While people are building, they may somehow use the materials for their own benefit. Amri Dilma Bayla Mizgav Zagalayu. The worker may be tired, he may want to lean on something, so he'll lean on that which he is constructing. Well, if it's already Hegdish, then he's not allowed to lean on it, because he's not allowed to get Hana from Hegdish. So you have to be very careful about that. So there's a major discussion in the postgame where you're allowed to enjoy the shade provided by the Kotel. If you go visit the Kotel Maravi, are you allowed to enjoy the shade? Are you allowed to lean lean against the kotel. All of these discussions, you have to figure out what the money, you know, what the status of the kotel is in terms of his mamon hegdish, what exactly it is, and what's called hana. Okay, not for now. But the point is that that's why they would dafka build bechol. So ibana b'kedusha ishtakach kamal b'kudsha. So if you're building with kaddish materials, then it would be a violation of meila. Our Mishnah said that if the Gizbarim buy wood, there's Mi'ila on the timber, there's no Mi'ila on the extras, on like the leaves and the sawdust and things like that. Why would it be subject to Mi'ila? Shouldn't we assume that it stays chulin as long as possible? Because Amri, the Dilma Bay Lemizga Vizagale and Vishtak Kamal Bakachim, and shouldn't we assume that it remains chulin till it's actually built, till you use that timber for whatever you're going to use it for? Even when the Gizbar buys it, shouldn't it remain chulin until the last moment? Because after all, shouldn't we be worried that if it doesn't remain chulin, people might get hana from it in the interim, and it's going to be a violation of Mi'ila? Says Gemara, no such concern. Amrav Papa, Ibe Eitzim Demikan Ve'ela Chachinami. If you're talking about wood that people are going to use, they're going to use much later on. So you're right. If it's wood that the Gizbar is buying to have excess materials at his disposal to use later on, a week from now, 2 weeks from now, then you're right. Of course he wouldn't be makdish it, because it's going to be a project, it's going to take time, and people might get hana in the interim. El Kitran Masnisin, when do we say in our Mishnah that there's going to be Mi'ila right away? Be'etzim Diyomei, the Eitzim that you buy to build right away on the day that you buy it. And we assume that people can be very careful that if they're going to build right away with it, that they're not going to get Mi'ila. Now, presumably what this means is that it's a project that's small enough that you could finish it on that day. Meaning, because if it's going to be a 2 month project, what do you mean? It's just as long of a time period. How can you assume that people are going to be extra careful just because you start the project that day? Presumably it means that since you're going to finish the project that day, so for one day people can remember not to lean against the thing that they're building or not to get any handoff from it. But if it's a long process, that's when we say that we're going to keep it as chulin until the process is finished, because people cannot be trusted in that situation. Tomorrow we will start with the fourth parak of Maseches Me'ilah.